Hi, welcome to the DK805 podcast. I'm Christy and I'm here with Katrina today. And as you can tell, I am outside today. I came to one of Devin's favorite spots when he was a little boy to record today. Katrina and I planned on being together, but as life happens, as it sometimes does, Katrina, where are you? What happened?
As life happens, for sure. We are up in Idyllwild, our nature space. You know how much I've come to just love this nature space. We're warm and we're safe. And we just got the little signs that come. The big signs was just to stay where we're at and ride through the storm. So we're here and you're there. And I see the blue skies behind you.
There's a few clouds behind
me.
Absolutely.
There were. They're kind of coming up. They're kind of moving fast behind you. Is it windy there?
It's a little bit windy. It is a little bit windy. But yeah. As Katrina and I were, I can see the snow and it's beautiful. It makes me a little bit jealous.
It is. It's magical. It is. It's so quiet. It comes and it's very, very peaceful. Very peaceful.
I love and that you so have a healing retreat. I did have court today. And as Katrina and I were preparing to do this podcast today, Katrina's my go-to person when my heart starts to ache or I'm having a hard time. So knowing that it was it's February, one of the things that we both started to
accept that, you know, we're living through grief, but the love remains. And we both just kept getting these huge sort of like, you know, songs. You sent me this beautiful song. And then I looked up, I love that song, Love Remains. And then just music and all the things. Sorry to interrupt you, but that was just a touch. But yeah, we kind of have come to terms with, we want to focus on the healing aspect that when love remains, which it does, and the knowing and the signs, how that can carry you in grief.
It can carry you in grief. And it being February, we thought it would be so important to touch on the love, that the gift we were given to be mothers, the gift that we had to experience all the magical times we had with our boys and what that means to us, even in grief, the love remains and how we reach out for signs. And one of the things I remember, the hardest day of my life was the time I had to go pick up Devin. When I had to go pick up Devin's ashes, I drove out to Pasadena and I was by myself. And I had, it's hard to explain unless you've been there, but this aching pain in my heart. And I couldn't breathe through it half the time. So it was almost as if it was somebody else walking in. That's the only difference between the two of us. But it's, there's no right or wrong way to grieve. And grief is not linear. But one of the things I remember from that ride home is just having Devin on my lap. And I was talking to him. I still talk to him. I'm like, hey, buddy, look, it's our final ride home. And I turned on his music and I turned it up super loud. And I would always say, are you home? Are you home? When Devin was in his illness, I would always constantly text him. And I would say, are you safe? Are you home? Are you home? And so that day I reached over to what would have been an empty seat. But to me, Devin was still in that seat. So I didn't drive with him on my lap, but I placed him in the seatbelt and I held. Gosh, there's the tears. I held onto his little urn and I'm like, listen, buddy, you're home and you're safe. You're safe.
Yeah.
And so in those moments. And in those moments, if there's other moms on here, if you are watching this, it's because you have somebody who's graduated from life, somebody who's passed on, who's made the transition, or you're worried about somebody, because our podcast is focusing on healing and what do we do with that pain.
Yes, we did. When we joined together, we had the shared, the awful connection of fentanyl, and a word that, will never leave my mind ever the rest of my life. But we decided just the shared part of that was the connection with the boys. I do feel our connection was a big part about being an advocate for the fentanyl awareness. And I do feel the second part of this journey will be this part of that I'm moving into, which we're talking about today, the love remains, the healing process, the healing part for, because it's, you know, if you stay in the whys and the what ifs, and we've talked about that, that just will take you down. And grief is not linear. And you're going to have days where you are just out of body experience. Someone else is moving you through it. But I have been wanting to share this, and I know I've shared with you, but I want to share that. So the next part will be, I really want to focus on the healing part of the journey and getting out here in nature where I have found this beautiful space. I do want to start on the process of making a healing grief retreat. And that is something that has been on my heart, praying deeply about it, talking with my husband about that. We're a ways away from that, but it's in my heart to do that. To have it be a place where bringing mothers that also find peace in nature. But there's just, even if you don't, when you get here in nature, if you can find a place to go to the beach but coming to the mountains, there it's so quiet and you can be quiet in your thoughts and your mind. I just want to create a space. And I'm really thinking about, you know, creating the meals that our boys used to love and you know, their favorite meal, cooking together, going on hikes and feeling the breeze between the trees. And so that's sort of on the horizon for where I see that, and still wanting to be active and attending the things that are really important. We need to make this crisis have it be the awareness, but also finding the other side of where you can heal as well. Because if you stay in that fight, there is that, but like you said, going into the storm, but there's this place you need to heal too, a place to heal.
Absolutely. And if going into the storm can mean so many different things, because the fentanyl crisis, it is a weapon of mass destruction, and it is hurting so many families. And so it's when we go into that storm, and if we talk about the awareness of the fentanyl crisis, it is to break the stigma, and it is to bring awareness. Because if I stay in the anger and the what ifs and what could have been, I miss out on the love that's here. And the breeze and the trees are the signs that we're given. And one of the biggest signs that those boys gave us is each other. Yeah. And not that we don't have moments. Right? We have moments of anger. But go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, absolutely. Righteous anger. We'll call it righteous anger because we talked about the wording of things, how words matter, right? Using the word poisoning versus overdose. Poisoning is, you know, this is a poison. This came up the other day. I wanted to talk to you since we've kind of touched on those things. And I still follow along on, and I'm sending prayers, you know, prayer hands to, as how we met, on certain sites that are still for those that are in active addiction. I know it's just some, you know, you get the, what do they call them? Keyboard warriors that like to say things, mm-hmm. but there are still comments that like, why would they waste two drugs for one? Nothing's laced. And that I'm using it in a softer way. They say it much harsher, and it's not directed at me. It's just that I'm reading it and I want to answer it, but I want to just maybe touch on it here because it does nothing if I answer it there. I know we've talked about that, how you can't really respond to someone that's just putting out something really negative. So the answer to that is that there isn't, it's not two drugs for one. No one's wasting a drug. First of all, we hope and pray that no one chooses that route. We hope people heal. But what's happening is that when they're reaching for something that they believe is helping them, like an anxiety pill or something in their pain, and withdrawals are painful. If you cannot get to a detox or you cannot get to a rehab or you're refusing at that point and you are suffering, your body goes through physical, research what withdrawals from anxiety medicine, SSRIs, which are just antidepressants, any pain medication, and or the drug that you are using, alcohol, heroin, cocaine, the list goes on. But with a fentanyl poisoning, the drug is supposed to be one, and it's completely filled with the fentanyl, which is poisoning. So for people that don't understand that, please do your research. This isn't something that someone is getting a two for one, and they're somehow not getting what they wanted. They didn't ask for that. they were unintentionally given a poison, and that's murder.
Well, and I am asked that question because Devin's case is a court case. And the way I describe it to people, and it seems as if they understand it this way, if you struggle with alcoholism and you go into a liquor store that's selling liquor and you walk mm-hmm. in there and you buy a bottle of whiskey, but you don't know that mm-hmm. half of that bottle of whiskey is cyanide, the person who just sold that to you, they poisoned you.
Exactly.
They poisoned you.
Exactly.
And so that's sometimes when I describe it that way, people are like, I get it. I get it now. But the point is that
like it's tainted. It's the product is not right. It's tainted. It's poisoned. So it's laced.
Correct. And being an addict is often looked at as if they took that risk. They took that risk. So breaking the stigma is what we're trying to do here. It's because when I walk out into the streets now, when I see somebody, I'm like, is that somebody's mother, daughter, sister, brother, uncle, cousin?
It's son.
Son. That's
right.
A human. And it's
right.
Not as easy to just say, no, put it down. It's not that easy. And so those people that are in recovery, I always say, welcome home. And I would say that to Devin too. After he would detox and I'd go in and his eyes were clear, I'd always say, you're back. Welcome home. And I'd give him a hug because they're out there. They're fighting a war within themselves as well.
And they already know. So the judgment and the shame that people can put, and families can. I mean, I absolutely, the thing I have to work on the most is to go back to those times, remember them, remember what was going on all around it, where I would be angry at the reaction that we were creating with each other, with the addiction, his response to my response to him wanting this back and forth, which is why most times it's, you know, that toxic place of, I have to go back to it and just, okay, heal it. Remember what was really going on. His brain wasn't functioning even to hear what I was saying. And I've learned that in Al-Anon, where I've learned the, you know, just the understanding, which is why I highly recommend going to Al-Anon for anyone that's trying to work through with their active addicted loved one or on the other side. So you can understand this is not a choice. All the things of saying, just stop, or all of those, you know, if you loved me, why are you, it's the internal for them is a completely different vibration. It is the actual medicine they believe is taking away their pain. And until they heal that, that is a pain that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
No, and there would be times, and if you've been a parent of a child in addiction, you've been all different types of parent. You've been the screaming
right.
parent. You've been the angry parent. You've been the pleading parent. You've been the parent who's enabled, not even meaning to enable, but you've been the parent, I'll give you whatever you want. Just get into rehab. And the journey is not as easy of put your kid in the car and take them. Your kid just needs to do this. Oh. We've tried everything. We've tried everything. And the shame that not only they feel, but the shame that's placed on the families as well. Our purpose, like Katrina said, she's building a healing retreat because we're traumatized as well.
It's traumatizing. There is, you know, it's a, and not to overuse that word because there's, you know, traumas. I mean, it's just learning how to stay more in the knowing and the trusting that when we talk about them and we want to hear their names. We've said this before. We want you to talk about our children. As I'm speaking as a group now of mothers or fathers mothers, fathers who have lost, say their names, talk about them, tell us stories. If you have videos of them, share them with us. If you have funny memories, tell them to us because we want them and they are just forever going to be, we want them to forever be a part of our daily, our walk, but also they are going to be. And so we want to hear their names. And so if I can encourage anyone, don't be afraid to mention them. That is what we want. And we need that. The love remains and they matter and their lives are beautiful before the addiction, during the active addiction. There's those glimpses, the waves that come. There are beautiful children and we want to talk about them.
And the other thing is if you're grieving or if you're watching somebody grieve, give us grace. because sometimes our triggers, I haven't always responded in the most loving way because it's painful. It's painful. And so when we say, give the addicts grace, give us grace as well. And if you haven't reached out to us and you don't know what to say because you think it's been too long, we still want to hear from you. We still want to hear from you. And Katrina and I both have these hearts that we just want to help people heal. We can't make anybody call us. And I think we both know that. But what we want to share is our love with you. So don't be afraid to call us.
We want you to know you're not alone. We're walking this with you. And we have the tools that we have found, and we want to share those. And when you share, you release it from your heart. And it's what we wanted our boys and, you know, on our side, those that have their daughters, we want our children to learn. That's the thing, to learn how to let it out so you don't create that inner turmoil that is that need to use that substance. That is the healing.
And there is healing.
Recover out loud, right?
Use that recover term. Recover out loud. Absolutely recover out loud. And grateful.
And those are the sorry, I keep talking over you, Christy. I'm sorry. This is an unusual format for us, but we're because we are so on opposite sides of the, I'll just say it's like, what do they call that? Bicoastal. You're in New York and I'm in California.
This is what grief looks like. Some days we're sunny and some days we're snowed in. And it's clear and there's a clear day and I'm going through it. Ask me how I am. Like, how are you? I always say, I'm different. I'm different. I will never be the Christy I was when Devin was alive. I'm a more compassionate person. I'm a more no BS person. I have a little less tolerance when I hear people talk about addicts in a way that is not kind. Where before when Devin was alive, I may have walked away from it, or I may have took it to mean they're talking about my child. Now all I want to do is say, we need love. We need more love. We need more love in this world.
Yeah, it's a great way to, you know, when that situation arises, it can open that door to just share that in which we've learned that, you know, the compassion that we are seeking, the compassion that we, you know, that it opens us up to our hearts to be more, just wanting to be more understanding of what other people are going through and be there for them. I have found so much love and kindness and compassion in the recovery community. I'm still, you know, in contact with several of the people we met early on, and just and loving that community that's built in that. And I just want to say that's what's built in that time of sharing. You get a new tribe. You know, there are those that can't, you just sort of have to just understand that's what will happen. The way the life was before is different, and you will find a new way to journey through this life. And we are going to, next episode, we can be together, just go on a little journey of where we can begin with having people maybe send in their stories. And I have had that happen recently. I won't share the name because it was such a personal, intimate moment, but I felt so grateful that this mom felt comfortable enough to share with me her bringing her son's belongings home with her. And it was just a beautiful story of her journey through where she had come from and to where she is now. And I just, you know, we talked for a long time, and I was so great. I felt honored, beyond honored, to be there. And we are here for anyone that wants to reach out. We're open to any thoughts that you have on topics that you want to talk about. We are also
share with us how your love remains. Yes. Share with us how you keep the love alive. Because when you share with us how you keep your love alive, it keeps our love alive as well. And we're like, oh, what a beautiful idea. So it gives us ways.
That triggered that because I know that we both communicated with Coop's mom and dad. That beautiful, their family, so beautiful. Coop's dad had just posted, and these are the stories that we're talking about when we talk about sharing the stories and how it reminds us that we're not alone. Reminds us that also the signs that we receive are to trust them, and they're so beautiful. Coop's dad and Coop's mom. They're just beautiful sharing souls. They share their son's story in a larger than life way because he just had this beautiful, beautiful personality that he had a lot of social media followers in his life and his purpose here to help others. And he had Coop's advice, which was how he was working through his addiction and sharing that with other people. So Coop's dad shared a post, a picture of, and this is similar to you and I, because we shared the DK, your tattoo, and then I had the DK, the heart in Hawaii, and our connection there, which was magical from the boys. So the story was, and it's on the post, and it's the friend that he had met, and it was his hands tattoos, and the reality of that in talking, and they figured out like, wow, the tattoo, they were similar because Coop had connected them. So it was Coop's dad's post from a friend of Coop's and another state, another friend of Coop's that had connected them. So they were connected. So it was just this little jumbling.
Those signs.
I
followed the story as you related.
Yes.
I didn't
yes.
see the post, but I follow. Coop.
It was so
no,
beautiful.
No, you didn't.
And like that is, there's no, you can't, it's too mathematically, can't, it's too profound to not have been meant to be for those two people to connect and to know that Coop's life touched them both in such a beautiful way.
That's wonderful. And those are the little hellos and the little signs that we get yeah. from the other side.
Yes.
So when the song from Adele, Hello from the Other Side, they're
yes.
here with us. They give
are.
Us those hellos. And if you stay in love, they come to you more often. They really
that,
do.
That's the beauty of that that message of what we're talking about, the love remains and staying in that light, that higher, when you get together, like we've been doing more often lately, when we have been talking less about the crisis and leaving that in the space that it is, but taking some time to find the joy where the sun's on our face and we're talking about the boys and we're sharing their stories. And it's just, it's like a light comes around you, Christy. And it's like, it's, and I already know, I don't even have to say, you know, how are you doing? Or because I know how you're doing, I'm feeling the same, but I can see my love for you. I can see Devin's love for you, like lighting you up. And he wants you to be happy. He wants our boys, our children want us to be okay. Cause they are at
okay.
the most peaceful place. They're not struggling. They are not suffering any hurt. They are whole. They are safe and they are home.
They are home. And for those parents who are listening, we're here for you. We're here for you. We're here for the siblings of your children as well, because when we heal, we give ourselves back to our families. And so we give ourselves, I love you too.
And I am just, I'm grateful that we could do this in this way. Again, something my husband helped us do and figure out, because I'm not the computer whiz, but this works. We can do this. And when life throws us curveballs or snowballs, we can
yeah, put on your catcher's mitt.
We can share our you know, all that we want to share, which is hopefully we got this message across today. We're here. We love you. You're not alone. Reach out.
And let the love remain.
Let the love
Thank
remain.
Thank you. Thank you for joining Christy and Katrina at the DK podcast, Breaking Stigmas.